come to the place, to the one who raised from the dead. Oh, come and see the risen King.
Hello, this is Misty Reese, and I would like to welcome you this day as I share with you the things of the kingdom of God. It is my hope that in sharing, you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that in believing, you find life through the name of Jesus. Hello, this is Misty Reese, coming to you today with Water of Life Church in Plano, Texas. And I would like to get started looking at what the gospel is. Do you know what the gospel is? Let's start in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which is a familiar place that I always like to start so we can see what the gospel is. What are we to do with the gospel? What is the gospel? Verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand." Do you see, it was preached to us, and we've received it, and we are told here we are to stand in it. Not just once, but every day, to stand in it, every moment. "By which also you are saved." The gospel, you are saved if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. So here is the definition of the gospel. Here is what was delivered and preached to them. "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." Has anyone ever told you that is what the gospel is? And we saw in verse 1, we are to stand in it, and we are only saved by it if we keep it in memory. Do you know if you're not keeping it in memory for every situation that comes along in your life, then your believing is in vain. Your believing is empty. Your believing is pointless. It's only if you keep it in memory, only if you stand in it. So why is this gospel important? Why is this gospel told for us to stand in and to keep it in memory? What's it going to produce? Well, let's look at Romans 1. This same gospel, this death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Here's why it's important. Verse 16. "For I am not ashamed. I am not afraid to trust in." That's what that word ashamed is. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Why? "For it is the power of God," the gospel, "it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." That means to everyone that stands in it, to everyone that keeps it in memory. It is the power of God. Do you need the power of God to work in your life? Well, how are you going to get it? By keeping Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection in memory. Now you might say, how do I do that? I don't even know how to do that. Well, you know what you do? When you get in those situations, you call on the name of Jesus. You preach the gospel to yourself. I know, Jesus, that you died for this situation. You were buried for this situation. You rose again triumphantly for this situation. Do you know all that's ever been done was accomplished on the cross when Jesus went to the cross and to hell and rose again for you? And it's yours, but you got to believe it. You've got to go after it and believe it. You know, someone said to me one time, "Well, the only thing Jesus ever did was die for my sins." I said, "That's not the only thing he did. That's not all that was accomplished when he went to the cross." So look at Isaiah 53 with me. And this is talking about Jesus. Look at verse 3. This is Jesus. He was despised for you. He was rejected of men for you. He was a man of sorrows for you. Do you see that's already not just because of your sins? It's all these things he went through for you, for me. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs. That's sickness. That word is sickness. He bore our sickness, not just our sins, but also our sickness. And he carried our sorrows. He carried our pains. Do you have any pains? Do you have any sickness? Are you being rejected and it hurts? Are you being despised and it hurts? Well, Jesus went to the cross just for that, for you. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement, the correction, the instruction of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. That is not just what he went to the cross for. It was just for our sins. It was all those things. Everything that was ever going to come your way was accomplished on the cross. Here's why that's important. If that was what was all accomplished, do you know that that still applies today? You know, in Hebrews, I believe it's 13:8, it says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So this person who told me that, well, that doesn't matter because what Jesus did was die for my sins. Yes, he did. For our transgressions and our iniquities, our perversities. Yes, he did. But if you go back and you look through 3 and 4 more, there's a whole lot more than he did than just for our sins. Why is that important? Because he cares about every little thing going on in your life today. He cares if you've been rejected, if you feel rejected, despised, grief, sorrows. That's why that's important, because that was also accomplished. Because I'm going to tell you, what is the point? And this was my point to that person. Well, what's the point then of walking around trying to believe or saying, I believe in Jesus? What's the point if it doesn't even produce anything, or if it doesn't even matter, or if it was for way back then but it doesn't apply now? Why waste your time? What's the point? Well, you know what? It wasn't just for then, and it wasn't just for only our sins. It's for everything we have need of. And we just read in Romans 1, what is it? It's the power of God. And what is it? It's the death, burial, and resurrection in Corinthians. Only if we stand in it and we keep it in memory. That's how you access the power of God. That's how you access believing on the Lord Jesus. You keep it in memory. And I don't care what the situation is. You go after it. And like I said, you preach it to yourself. Oh, I heard about Jesus, but I didn't hear that the gospel was the power of God and that every day I have access to it. Every day I have access to it. Every situation I have access to it. You can walk around all day long and profess, oh, I know Jesus. Oh, Jesus is my friend. But if it's not producing anything, if the power of God is not producing anything in your life, and if when the first situation comes along and you're freaked out and you're not even trying to keep it in memory and believe the Lord Jesus, then what is all you're believing for? Nothing. It's in vain. That's why he went to the cross, for whatever you have need of. I didn't really intend to go there first, but let's look back at Philippians 2, verse 5, because here is also why that gospel is important and why what we just read in Isaiah 53 applies to us, you and me, whether you're a man or a woman or a child, applies to us. Because look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. And I so appreciate these scriptures. Verse 5, let this mind be in you. This mind be in you and me, which was also in Christ Jesus. Who? Jesus. being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But look what he did. Look what Jesus did. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Do you see that? He was made in the likeness of men. He became just like you and me. Look at verse 8. And being found in fashion, and in the margin it says inhabit as a man. So he was found as a man. So he was just like you and me, just like us. He humbled himself and became obedient unto the death, even the death of the cross. A man, he emptied himself of all his godly privilege, came to the earth, born of a woman, and was made in the likeness of men, and became a man, walked this earth as you and I do today. So what we read in Isaiah 53, so that he could walk as a man and he could know what it was like to be a man, to be inhabit as a man, to go through what we go through, to walk out what we walk out, to be tempted as we're tempted, to go through all these things, every fashion or habit as a man and a woman and child go through. That's what he came and he did. And you know what? When he did it, he knows what it's like to be us. What a comfort. Because it wasn't like, well, he's some figure that he's so beyond us, he doesn't even know what it's like to be us. No, he knows exactly what it's like to be us. He was like us. And we saw in Isaiah 53, he became despised, like some of us have experienced being despised. He became rejected. I've been rejected. Have you been rejected? Sorrows. Have you had sorrows? Well, Jesus had sorrows. He took them on the cross. Despised. Sickness. Have you ever had those things? Do you know Jesus bore those things on his body? Bore them on his body? For you and for me, what a comfort to know that he is our example. He's already been through it. And that's why he has told us, here's what you trust in. Here's what you believe in. Here's what you stand in. Here's what you keep in memory. Because you know what it's going to do? It's going to work the power of God, just like the power of God worked to raise him from the dead. He knows that's what that does. He knows that's where the power is. He knows that's how you're going to get out of your mess. Just like he got out of hell, the power of God. That's why it's important to us. That's why we are to believe the gospel for everything. I don't care if it's the simplest of things. It's not silly. Don't ever think, well, this is too silly. I've had people tell me that, well, why would God care about this? Or why would Jesus care about this? Well, it says, acknowledge him in all your ways and he will direct your paths. Well, do you think acknowledging him in all your ways means everything? So he must care about the simplest of things. There is nothing too simple or too hard. It's just believe. He wants to bring that salvation, but it's going to come through you believing the gospel. I've been reminded here lately of some things that the Lord has walked me through. And like I said, if we were back at Philippians, where it said Jesus humbled himself. Why? Because he was a man, and he still is a man, sitting on the right hand of the Father in heaven. Sitting on the right hand of the Father in heaven, the man Jesus, still today, making intercession, it says, making intercession for you and for me. That means he's praying for us, to the Father, praying for you and I. So I want to share with you some things today of walking through some situations and having to humble myself because of what was being required of my life. And I want to look at Matthew 26. Now remember, this is Jesus, a man, and he's going to the Father. They're in the garden, and he knows that soon they're going to come and get him. Let's look at 37. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, now look what he says, because he's a man. My soul is exceeding sorrowful. His soul was exceeding sorrowful. He knew what was going to be required of him, even unto death. Tarry you here and watch with me. Verse 39, and he went a little further, and he fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, now look what he says. O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Now remember, he was a man, and he's praying to his Father in heaven, and he's asking him, if it be possible, let this pass from me. He didn't want to go to the cross. He was a man just like us, and we read, fashioned and in habit just like us. Has there ever been anything that you didn't want to do? Do you know Jesus understands that? Because he walked it out his own self. He knows what it feels like being required to do something and not wanting to do it. Look at another account of that in Mark 14. Some of it's similar, but there's a little bit different account. Let's look at verse 36 or 35. And he went forward a little while, and he fell on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. Verse 36. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Here he says, take it away. Take it away. He doesn't want to do it. But then look, he humbled himself. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. Jesus humbled himself. He didn't want to do it, but he humbled himself to obey the Father in heaven. Do you know, he is our example, and you can't get away or make an excuse for, well, that he was Jesus. Yeah, he was Jesus, a man. So whatever he did, you have that same ability to walk out. You can be tempted and not sin. You can be tempted to not obey God, but still humble yourself and obey God. Now look, what might Jesus require of you? What might you have to do? What might the Father require of your life in humbling yourself? And this is what I said, I've been being reminded of. God has been bringing things up about the times that I've had to humble myself when I didn't want to do what was being required. But you know what? If you're going to go out, if you're going to seek the Lord, if you're going to believe the gospel, if you're going to go after the kingdom of God, then you're going to have to understand that God is going to require some things of your life. Look what he required of Jesus. And Jesus didn't want to do it, but he still had to humble himself to get what the will of the Father was. Mark 10. And this is the rich young ruler. And the rich young ruler is coming to Jesus, and he's saying all these things he's done. All these things, all these great things he's done. Or look at verse 21. Look what Jesus says to him. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. He loved him. And look what he's going to say to him. He's heard all these things that the rich young ruler has done. But one thing thou lackest. One thing he still hadn't done. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And look what he goes on to say. And come, take up the cross and follow me. Take up the cross and follow Jesus. This is what Jesus was speaking to him that he was going to have to do, that was going to be required of his life. And look what verse 22 says. And he was sad at that saying, and he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. That's what was being required of his life. It didn't matter that he'd done all these great things. Do you know you can do all these great things and still not obey God? Still not obey God? And what did doing all those great things ever bring you? What did it prosper for you? That you did great things? It didn't give you anything. Because if you didn't obey God, what did you ever accomplish? When we were living in Stigler, my husband, Anthony, he had built some of the most beautiful furniture for our home. He'd built a beautiful fireplace. He'd built this beautiful entertainment center, beautiful furniture. And there were things for my classroom. I was teaching at the time. There were so many things that he could do. And we had made some updates in our home. And we had a water garden out front with fish in it and flowers and landscaped things. So many things that I enjoyed, that I had, that I took some pride in, that these things belonged to us, mine, this beautiful furniture. And you know what? There came a day, there became more being required of me and of us and of our lives. There came a day when God required of us to not live there anymore. And we had to start getting rid of some of those things because we knew that we couldn't take them with us. And some things we sold, there may have been some things we'd given away, but I knew those things that I knew I wasn't going to have anymore. I mean, we were looking at renting, or we weren't going to go buy a house. And even if we were going to go buy a house, what were we going to start with? So here I was, all these things having to be left behind. And one of those particular things was this piece of furniture that, like I said, it was a beautiful entertainment center that I just loved. I loved it, but also it was something that he had made for me. And that was one of the last pieces of big furniture that we had. And he came to me one day and he said, "Misty, I believe it's right that we give it away." Well, certainly I wasn't on board with that. But he kept working through it and he said, "This is what I believe." And I said, "Okay." But in my heart, I was resisting. I did not want to give this piece of furniture away. And I didn't even want to sell it. Even if that would have been an option. I didn't even want to sell it. Although we could have gotten a lot of money out of it, I didn't want to sell it because I loved it. And so we go and we're going to deliver it to this person's house. And even then, the whole time we're dropping it off and they're setting it up and they're stepping away back from it and just admiring it, my heart was breaking because I did not want to give this piece of furniture away. And they step back one last time and they kind of oohed and awed over it and just, "Oh, how beautiful it looked. It had, you know, built-in lighting in it and very nice." And they kind of just, like I said, stood back and admired it. And I heard the Lord say to me, "Do you want that piece of wood or do you want me?" And do you know, that was enough. That comforted me enough that I knew what I wanted. And I said, "I want you, Lord. I want you, Lord." And I was fine with them having that piece of furniture because I knew whatever the Lord had for me was going to be way more than that piece of furniture. It was going to be so much more. And that's what I wanted. And I said, "I want you, Lord." And I was able to let that piece of furniture go. You know, there were other things too in that working through leaving Stigler when we left. I had trophies and accolades and all these things that I'd won over the years with school and teaching and those kinds of things that I got rid of, believing it was God, because they were idols. They were idols in my heart, and I knew God was requiring me to let go of those things. Why? Because when I let go of those things, more of the Lord Jesus, more of God, more of the kingdom of God would fill my heart. That's what I wanted. I had to go after that. You know why? Because there's hope. Without Jesus, I never had any hope. But with going after him and seeking him, I had hope like I'd never had before. And I wanted more of it. And if it meant letting go of something, fine. But I want you because I want the hope like I've never had before. You know, there was another time I'll share real quickly. I finished my last year of teaching in May of 2014. But going into that last year before I took that job, and I've shared before how God directed me to take that job, there was another position. There were two positions that I was looking at. And one was not a classroom position anymore, although it was in education. And it was something I really had a desire to do. I really had a desire to do. And I was thrilled when I knew that position was available. Although I wasn't sure what I had to do to go about getting it. Could I get it? Did I have the qualifications to get it? Because there were certain qualifications you had to have. So I went and talked to someone who I respected and who I felt like would be honest with me and tell me what they believed. And they told me, they said, yes, these are the qualifications, but I believe you can get that position, Misty, without doing that. And I said, okay. So I didn't go out and do it on my own. What did I do? I went to the Father and I was praying, trying to get the mind of God, trying to get the will of God, what I needed to do in that situation. Not what I wanted, but what's your will, Lord? What is your will? Not my will, your will. That position I wanted, I knew was not what God was telling me to do. I knew He was telling me, go after this other position. Well, you know what? That position, I would have loved it and I would have been fine at doing it, but it was not what I wanted to do. I humbled myself. I had gotten to the place where it became easier to, okay, what do you want me to do? Also, there was some fear of the Lord because I knew if I went purposely and disobeyed God and He knew that I knew I should have been asking, I was going to find myself in trouble. And so I went to the Lord, what do you want me to do? Well, like I said, go after this position. Well, that was not the position I wanted, but I did it and I went after it. And the position that I desired and wanted in my heart, well, it got filled, and so that made it easier. Well, then not too long, when I already made a move to take this other position, that position opens up again. I went back to the Lord and I was like, you know, I can hear you, and if you tell me to take that position, you know I'll do it. And I just kind of laughed because I knew He wasn't going to tell me that. I knew He'd already told me what position I needed to take. Do you know that position came open, I don't know, two or three more times maybe, and then it changed in the middle of the year again, and I would just laugh because it was temptation. It was a temptation. And Jesus walked through temptations. It was a temptation to disobey God, but I heard God, and I knew the position He told me to take, and I knew I had to humble myself and obey God. And I loved the position I was in. But my point is that you will have to, if you want the kingdom of God, if you want what God has for you in your life, you will have to seek His will in your life. You will have to take up your cross and follow the Lord Jesus, like he told the rich young ruler. You will have to do that. You will have to keep the gospel in memory for every situation so that you can walk on and believe and work through and hear God on what you need to do. Because if you're just running around doing your own thing and doing it and saying, oh, I believe God told me to do this. Well, did He? Or are you just doing your own thing and calling it God? That might be something to consider. Are you taking up your cross daily, and are you keeping that gospel in memory for every situation that comes your way? Whether it's a job, whether it's dating someone, marrying someone, going someplace. You know, there's coming a day when you don't know what's going to happen out there in that world, and you better make sure you're in the right place that God has led you to, not that you took off on your own will and then you're in a mess. So I leave you with that today, and I encourage you, if you do not know the Lord Jesus, if you are like, I don't even know what this hope is you're talking about or who this man is, well, you can. And all you have to do is call on the name of Jesus. All you have to do is call on that name, Jesus, Jesus. Call on Him. Believe in your heart that He died and He was buried and He rose again, and God raised Him the third day. And like I have told you, He was a man. He knows where you've been because He's been there, and He's still a man, making intercession for you this day. Until next time, God bless you. Thank you for joining me today. I would love to hear from you. You may email me at mistyreesewateroflife@gmail.com. That's MISTYREESE, wateroflife@gmail.com. Or you may write to me at Misty Reese, care of Water of Life Church, P.O. Box 861327, Plano, Texas, 75086. In the blood.